As we study tonight, I hope and pray that these things will be of benefit and blessing to you. They come by way of thoughts concerning this idea, the idea of things that we need to know, that we sometimes already know, we just need to simply be reminded of. And so there's some things that we need to be reminded of. But in doing so, we recognize that the social world, if you will, presents things as if they have found some new thing. They want to tell you five things that the IRS doesn't want you to know, or five things that airline stewardess wants you to know. Well, tonight we're going to consider five things that the devil does not want you and me to know. Every one of us faces temptation. The devil knows what will be appealing to us. And so he uses temptations to pervert us and to weaken us. He entices us to desire something that leads us away from safety and into a trap. Desires become pregnant then and give birth to sin. And sin, when it is full, brings forth death. But God does not want his children to be ensnared by evil, but rather not to be ensnared by evil or to be overcome with it, but to overcome evil with good. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 21. If we look at that model prayer, the prayer which Jesus prays in Matthew chapter 6, often referred to by us as the model prayer, Jesus instructs us to pray this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Whatever temptations we face, we can resist the devil, James chapter 4, verse number 7. We can escape the defilements of the world, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 20. And we can overcome the world, 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. If we remember these five things that the devil does not want us to know, you already know them. So by way of reminder, remember that we are part of a spiritual kingdom. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, that our weapons are not physical, because the battle that we are a part of is in a spiritual arena. Tactics of the world and warfare within this world do not work in the spiritual war. Divinely powerful weapons, then, have been given to us for the destruction of fortresses, those things that would be brought up against the knowledge of God. And so, as written there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, these weapons destroy speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. God gives us the armor we need to fight this battle if we will but take it up and put it on. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. But we must find our strength in God's mighty power by putting on that full armor of God. The armor, or the full armor of God, enables us to resist and enables us to stand firm. A soldier in this world needs a belt, body armor, shoes, and a shield, helmet for protection of the head, and a sword with which to fight. Whereas the soldier fighting the schemes of the devil needs the truth, needs God's righteousness, needs the gospel of peace, faith, and salvation, and the Word of God as his equipment. And so each soldier needs to pray. He needs to pray for himself He needs to pray for others, and he needs to pray for those who are making known the mystery of the gospel. When facing physical temptations, remembering that we are citizens of a spiritual kingdom will help us to keep focused. Remember also that temptation is not sin. Our Savior faced temptation, Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1 and following. Yet he faced them without giving in, and he did no sin. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15. When Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, it was for him to be tempted by the devil. Matthew records that after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, that Jesus became hungry. Be cautious of being separated from people. Be cautious of being hungry. Be cautious of being tired. Any vulnerability which we have becomes a target at which the devil sets his schemes to attack. When the devil comes to tempt you, he's looking to isolate and to launch a strategic attack against those things you are most vulnerable towards. And so the tempter presented to Jesus his first temptation, as is recorded for us in Scripture. If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Jesus triumphed over this temptation, quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 3, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Jesus acknowledged that people need more than bread for their lives. They must feed on every word of God. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus again triumphed over temptation by quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 16, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." The nation of Israel, the Israelites, had put God to the test at Massah, meaning test, and Meribah, meaning quarrel, in Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. By demanding a miracle of him to quench their thirst there in the wilderness. But Jesus would not try God in this way. He would not test him by forcing God to somehow prove himself to be God and to prove the Son to be the Son of God. Nor should we test God in this way. Again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus triumphed yet again. As he quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13, and a similar passage in Deuteronomy 10, verse 20, "You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The Lord your God is the only one we should serve and worship, fulfilling religious duties toward. We cannot let tempting thoughts take root and make safe harbor in our minds or in our hearts. When such thoughts enter, we must quickly push them out and not act upon those thoughts. So Jesus responded quickly, precisely, and authoritatively to each temptation. And the temptation stopped there. It had no opportunity to entice Jesus further, nor did it have the ability to lead him away, and it certainly did not have the time to give birth to sin. When facing temptation, remember that temptation is not sin. Do not give ground, but rather stand firm against desires and enticements. Many of Satan's battles are so easily won because with the slightest slip, we think it's sin and therefore we give up. and he wins. Remember that temptation is not sin. Remember that temptation is not really pleasurable. Advertisements, movies, and magazines all make sinful behavior appealing. Satan knows how to deceive us. These worldly things portray only the best side of their offerings. They never show us the late night sickness, the morning after confusion, or the delayed effects on our physical or mental health. But whatever pleasures sin does produce is temporary, transient, and passing. Thus the pleasure wears off, and it leaves the sinner alone to deal with the consequences that come with such behavior. Thus the Hebrew writer reminds us that Moses chose rather to suffer mistreatment with God's people than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25. Temptations simply present us with options, thus giving us a choice. We must consider then the outcome of the options. Giving in to temptation will bring about suffering. Standing firm against temptation will bring about mistreatment from others. Looking for the reward and thinking about the reward will help us to stay the course, to see the best option, and to see the one we should choose, which is often the original choice, the original option that existed before we were facing temptation. Thus, sin is a deal that is too good to be true. So if we can remember that sin is not really pleasurable, we will be better equipped to resist and to overcome such temptations. Remember also that God does not tempt. Looking at James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, the Bible tells us that let no one say, when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it gives birth to death, or brings forth death. God cannot be tempted by evil. Are you thankful that he is on our side in dealing with these internal temptations that are to be resisted? He cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. He does not entice anyone to sin. God does not induce people to sin. And so it is our own desires that pull us into sin, the thing which John calls all that is in the world. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. He says there in verse 16, 1 John chapter 2, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. When facing temptation, remember that God does not tempt. Therefore, any temptation we are facing is from the world, presented to us by the devil, a word of Greek origin, or Satan, a word of Hebrew origin, both referring to one and the same being. He is your adversary. He is out to get you any way that he can. So remember that God does not tempt, and temptations come from the devil. Remember also that temptation is powerful. Some will fall, as we learn from David with Bathsheba, Solomon and all his wives, Adam and Eve, and so many others in recorded biblical history. One way then to avoid falling into sinful behavior is to avoid situations that tempt us. there in the case of David with Bathsheba. If David had been where he should have been, 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1, he would not have seen Bathsheba, verses 2 through 5. If Solomon had kept his heart wholly devoted to God, he would not have allowed his wives to turn his heart away after other gods, 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4. If Eve would have reinforced what was already in her mind, what the real words of God were, she would not have accepted the serpent's denying of God's word, nor would she have eaten of the forbidden fruit. The forbidden tree, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. But in order to resist temptation in this way, we must remember that temptation is powerful. It is not to be toyed with. It is not to be given a lingering thought or a second thought of consideration. Well, that's when the devil gets us. When we take a second look, when we spend more time thinking about it than we ought. Then he gets us and he lures us away. There are many other observations that could be made from the scriptures concerning things to remember and things that Satan probably does not want us to know. But there are some observations that we need to share that will simply help us in not only facing temptation, but overcoming those temptations. When we face temptation and we fall victim to it, we need to look for the escape route. External temptations, those things which are tests or trials, are to be endured. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man." When we give in to temptation and we sin, we ought to remember that we are human. Most everyone has given in at some point in time or another. And as a result, it's very common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will, with the temptation, provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Providing the way of escape is to provide the ability to endure the test. If it's a test, it's from God. If it's a temptation, it's from Satan. God wants you to win, so He will set you up for success. But if you happen to fail, He'll provide you with a way of escape, the ability to endure the test. Be courageous to resist internal temptations. James chapter 4 and verse number 7 calls upon us to submit to God, to be obedient to Him and to His will. We submit in this way and obey God by resisting and taking a stand against the devil, while at the same time drawing near to God by having and maintaining a close relationship with God. By accepting God's authority and obeying Him, we can overcome the devil's power and he will literally run away from us. Be courageous to resist those internal temptations. Use God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15 instructs believers to be diligent with God's word. Study to know how to use it and how to use it properly. Study it to know how to handle it. For the word of God is the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6 and verse 17, our offensive weapon against the schemes of the devil. Keep close to God and lean on God. In the spiritual battle, mercy and grace will be needed. There will be times that we will fail, that we fall short of the glory of God, the glory He has set for us. And in those times, we will need His mercy. We will need His grace. There will also be times in the spiritual battle when we will need help. Therefore, Hebrews 4, verse 16 says, "Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." One such way that we can set ourselves up for success in facing temptation is to associate with godly people. God's people love you and want you to succeed, so they are willing to help you. God's people stimulate one another to love and good deeds, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. They also encourage one another, Hebrews 10 and verse 25. They're there for one another to pick each other up when we have fallen. And so it is that we should associate with godly people to be around those who will help us to be better, to be around those who will help us to avoid some of the temptations that we bring upon ourselves by doing those things which we should not. But also they're there for us simply to love us in our time of weakness. Temptation, the enticement to do evil, comes to us for different reasons. From the standpoint of Satan, Satan's intent is to destroy people through sin, leading to death and hell. God, on the other hand, allows temptations in the forms of trials to bring about faith and to bring about patience. Again, as Paul explained it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13, there is no temptation that has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Enduring temptation, enduring those trials, assures us of a reward. You see, there is a blessing that awaits those who endure temptation, endure the testing of faith. James chapter 1 and verse number 12 says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him." Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Your love for the Lord will be tested by Satan, who is your adversary. He's looking for an opportune time. And if you give him an opportune time, he will take advantage of you and he will lead you away into sin. If you persevere, though, you will be approved. You will be approved by God. You will be approved as one who will receive the crown of life. Do you realize then your need to draw near to God in order to avoid being devoured by the devil who slanders you? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. The one who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's seeking that one who is separated from the rest. He's seeking that one who is hungry, that one who is tired, that one who has a vulnerability of which he can take advantage and win them over, cause them to slip up. And with the slightest mistake, he will take you with him further than you ever wanted to go. And before you know it, not only have you sinned, but you've fallen into a sinful lifestyle. But do you realize your need to draw near to God in order to avoid these things? Your decision in this matter has a lasting effect on your eternal home. The time to decide which side of the battle you will be on is soon. It's now, not later. Decide now which side of the battle you will be on and which side you will fight on. Because this is a very personal decision. It means that no one is able to make the decision for you. It's a decision you must make, but it's a decision that you must make each and every day of your life. But the opportunity, like the one that you have tonight, may be limited. the opportunity to make things right, the opportunity to say, I have failed you, I am sorry, please forgive me. Those opportunities may not come around very many more times. In fact, we're not even guaranteed another time. And so tonight, as you evaluate yourself, it will take courage to decide what you will do with your life. It will take courage to make such a decision known to all the world. But responding to Christ's message will bring about deliverance in more ways than anyone can imagine. For when we're on the Lord's side, He surely will protect us from many harms that we are unaware of. But when it comes to facing temptations, He wants us to know that we can resist the devil, that we can overcome the defilements of the world, and that we can overcome the world, and by that, be approved of Him and receive the crown of life. Tonight, please evaluate yourself concerning temptation and whether or not you're following after God's will, God's plan to avoid such temptations, and are following God's will, God's plan for being restored from such failure. As it is, Satan is out to get you. He wants you to delay your decision. He wants you to wait. He wants you to think that you have plenty of time. God, on the other hand, says now is the day of salvation. Now is the time for you to decide which side of the battle you will be on. And if you're subject to the Lord's invitation to seek forgiveness for sins that are amiss in your life, or to be restored to Him for other matters, to seek the prayers of those who are in the church, or else to put Christ on in baptism, He's given you that opportunity so that you can overcome the devil. And He is inviting you now to come, as together we stand and sing.